Reading in chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diversed one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and a dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beast that was before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the four beasts which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until a time and time and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitation much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. All right, Daniel here in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. It's in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Daniel had been taken down into captivity. It was about 70 years that they were down there. Just a boy when he was taken down there. And along about the end of the 70 years, he began to seek God, asking God what was going to befall his people, which was the Jews, fasting and praying. And it was at the end of the 70 years that Nehemiah was fasting and praying and went before the king as to, in that day when the king saw Nehemiah, he asked him what was wrong with him. And it was at this time that the king gave a command to go and build the city as to the coming Messiah. We brought this out about the 70 weeks of Daniel. And remember, they were down there after that. Jeremiah prophesied that they'd be down there. And we spoke of how that the 10 tribes had went away into Assyria, and how that the crown, that is to say Judah, along with Daniel and them, had failed down into Babylon. And now here he is down here in Babylon. He's having these visions. And he has this of the beast. One stands up on his feet, and a heart of a man's given to him. And then all of a sudden, there's another. That is a bear that he raises up and he devours. And there's several ribs in his mouth. And then there's another. There's a leopard that's got four wings on his back. And then this other one is so exceedingly strong, different from all of them. And he is devouring, and he's got great iron teeth. And he devours. He's so different. So when this is traced down in history, it is brought to pass that we find that it's the Babylonian kingdom of old Nebuchadnezzar, where he became the servant of God. And the Lord refers to all of them as beast, because if you are not a child of God, then you are a beast. And so he refers to them as beast, and they're shown to Daniel as beast. And so then this one is given a man's heart, because you remember the visions that Daniel told the king, and how these things come to pass, and how that he was driven out, and how that he was wet with the dew of heaven, and then all of a sudden he came to his senses, and he received the understanding of a man, and he came back and he gave glory to God. So then he was made to stand upright, and then there came, that is to say as a man, and then there came the Medo-Persians as to the bear kingdom, the slothful kingdom, as to show this next kingdom that was a devouring kingdom, but a very slothful kingdom. And then there came this third kingdom, which was Alexander the Great with the Hellenistic religion, that had four generals that took over when Alexander the Great died. This leper represented a swift moving kingdom with Alexander the Great, according to history. And the four generals that took this kingdom are represented by the four wings. And then, of course, the last one, as to the fourth one, was this diverse kingdom. As when the old Babylon kingdom fell, then this thing was taken to the Catholic side of things as to Mystery Babylon, and has been conveyed over, and even until today it's still the old Babylonian kingdom of Mystery Babylon, even reaching over into America. And it continues on. If you'll notice that this ties right in with John's visions and continues on to where Daniel says, and the winds are wrestling over the waters, the winds being doctrines and powers as to spirits, and the waters being people. And John brings this out about the time of the sealing of the 144,000. And then it says that the saints, but the saints of the Most High, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, which again agrees with John over here. This kingdom goes right on until the little stone is hewed out of the mountain that comes rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. And I'm only saying this to kind of run the thing on over to the New Testament, to where you can understand what Daniel was saying. Like Jesus said, the abomination of desolation, whatever. But here you find in Revelation 11:15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And it fulfills what was said here in the seventh chapter of Daniel in the 18th verse. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And here it is where they do that very thing at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Of those angels that are sounding in the, they start sounding the eighth chapter, and the last one sounds in the 11th chapter of 11:15, and the kingdoms of the world are suddenly taken over. So then we see that what Daniel said was for the end time, and the angel said, Daniel, seal it up. Seal it up. He wouldn't let him understand the vision. Said, seal it up. But when John saw the vision, the Lord told him not to seal it up. And if you'll notice that out of this Babylonian kingdom, as to the old carryover to Mystery Babylon, that is, if you'll notice, out of that was to come the Antichrist. It says that this beast that come up that had iron teeth, which it appears that it had to do with the old Iron Maiden. As to history, they had the old Iron Maiden where they had a hole like in the floor, and the old Iron Maiden would open. They would take their prey, and you stepped inside of this mummy-like case, and it would close in on you. And these iron teeth would stick right through you and then open up and just let you drop right down into a hole or something. This thing devoured with iron teeth, and it parted, naturally speaking, to some of these things. So it was a very cruel sort of a thing that was coming off, and then the devouring as to show that it wouldn't have any mercy whatsoever. It would take a long time to get into it, but it definitely shows the Antichrist, and as to the 10 horns, said this beast would come up having 10 horns. Okay, now, if you'll read over there, chapter 13, it said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. And it's exactly what Daniel saw. Again, he saw the same vision that John saw. But it says after, in Daniel it says, after these 10 horns come up, there was another one that came up that devoured 3 of these 10 kings. And Daniel goes on in the chapter, in the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel, and he explains this. Because he speaks of another vision that he has here. And this time it involves, if you'll check it out, it involves the 4 wings that was on the leopards. But he gives it a little different. He says, in the 3rd year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that it was at Shushan, in the palace which is in the province of Elam. I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Eulah. Then I lifted up mine eyes, and I saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had 2 horns. And the 2 horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west, on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eye, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. All right, now, again, you see over here as to when we read this first vision, it gives the time as 3.5 years, because it speaks of a certain time. It says, and they shall be given into his hands until a time and times and the dividing time, which is 3.5 years. Then again, you see it takes up in the middle of the week here, and it says as to the transgression, as to that transgression, and goes on to Daniel's abomination that he speaks of desolation that we spoke to you about. And the transgression of desolation here, we spoke to you about in another vision of Daniel. Here, it is in the middle of the week, and it goes on to finish out the week, where the two prophets come, they prophesy, and they're killed after the first 3.5 years of prophecy. Then they are killed and lay in the street for about 3 days, and then the Spirit of God enters in them and lifts them up, as recorded in Revelation 11. I'm just kind of hurrying through this to acquaint you with it, because we don't have time to get into these things. But anyway, if you notice that this goat here again shows Alexander the Great, and the ram again shows the Medo-Persians as to the two leaders there in the kingdom, and this goat coming, when he breaks the horns of the ram, then he begins to rule. And then, of course, when Alexander the Great dies, then the horn as to the goat is broken, and the four horns comes up, which is the general. And, of course, after the four general comes up, one of these generals wax great as toward the Holy Land after this horn. And, of course, out of that, that is the conveying over of that thing that we brought to you. We've got it on tape where the Babylonian kingdom was conveyed over. We bring it out of a talus and how it was conveyed over, and bring it out according to history. And right on down how it came right on down into Rome, and how it was set up, and how it got over into America and whatever. You've got it all on tape. And then we bring it right on from Daniel over into the New Testament. See, he'll cause craft to prosper. It goes on to say, and it came to pass that I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. Then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Euleo, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So it came near where I stood, and when I came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Remember now, John saw in the end. It was still Daniel, or Daniel's visions. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep. The angel said to be at the time of the end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. Remember, I said the last 3.5 years. The ram which thou sawest having the horns are the king of Media and Persia. See, that's two horns right there, just like we said. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. See, that's Alexander the Great. the Grecian. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. That's your generals. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions have come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That's your Antichrist. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. That's bringing in that thing that we spoke of the United States of Europe. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. That is that cry peace. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hands. That is, he's going to stand up against the people, the Israelite people. See, he's not going to like that tidings out of the east where they say our Messiah is coming. And it says here, through peace, he's going to have a policy of peace, trying to bring peace. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Now Daniel fainted and was sick. Certain days afterwards arose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. All right, so we're going over to John. Off to the New Testament. So I just kind of hurried through that because we don't have a lot of time to talk with you, and you having the patience sometime to sit and listen, and I just hurry through these things, acquaint you with it, hoping that from time to time I just pick up a little bit and preach on it, and bits and pieces, put it together and put it on tape, and maybe sometimes you can get it and listen at it. It just suits me, you know, to get started here and go all night long and go into these things in detail and explain them to where you can have a thorough education in the wonderful things of God. But anyway, you see that this beast come up, and then you find out that, as the Bible said, that these kings, these 10 kings, really hate the beast. The same kings that Daniel spoke of. It's 10 little nations coming up over in the foreign country that's going to come together in that United States of Europe for that common market thing. And they really hate the whore, which is the Catholic Church, and that domineering nation that has had control over them in the past, back during the Dark Age. And they're going to give their power to it for a certain time, and then they're going to turn on it. But there'll be one that will come up out of those 10 horns, as the Bible says, and it will be a king that will rise up among the 10 that will become strong and devour the rest, or get control of the rest, really is what it will do, and strengthen his kingdom. And when it does, that will be the Antichrist that will have control of the whole thing. But what I'd like for you to remember is that when this thing comes up, it will exercise the power and authority of the beast and bring on the false prophet, and have the image built to the beast. That's the thing that it will want to do. See, it said, I saw the beast. It had 7 heads. Now, notice that it said it had 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon its heads the name of blasphemy. It had a body like a leopard, it had feet like a bear, and its mouth was as of a lion. But I'm just trying to explain to you, isn't it strange that it said, the beast that I saw. See, this vision of John is the expose of the vision of Daniel. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He showed Daniel what would befall his people, the Jews, in the latter times, but he didn't explain it to Daniel. He didn't give Daniel the revelation of it. And that is why that in the book that John gets as to the vision, it's called the Revelation, because it is the revealing of what Daniel saw. To Daniel, it was a closed book, but that was because the veil had not been rent. But when Jesus came and rent the veil, John being on this side of the veil, then it is the revelation or the revealed. For Paul said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. And now we have the wonderful knowledge and understanding of Almighty God. And Paul taught that now is made known to the church this wonderful, wonderful wisdom of the power of translation, because there's no catching away of the church unless there's a revelation. There is no translation of the church unless there is a revelation. So then, to be translated, there has to be a revelation. And to have a revelation, there has to be a rent veil. And to have a rent veil, there had to be a crucified Christ. So, the church is in the minority. As to the church, like we've got here at Bethlehem right now, we've got a right good little congregation tonight. Maybe out of this congregation, we might have three in here we would say would be the church. I don't know how many is in here, I didn't count them. But let us say that in this congregation that we got here, we got three that would be the church. All right, now, that would probably be a pretty good count. Considering all of the religious people in the church, if you had three average out of this many people everywhere you'd find religious people. So say you had three out of this congregation now that would be the church. This would be three that would be walking upright before God. Three that would pray. Three that would fast. Three that would study. Three that would love the Word of God. Three that would walk day and night with the Lord. And three that would meditate in His laws day and night. And three that would want to be holy and clean and just, pure all the time. And three that would have no other interest in life except to be exactly like the Son of God and to be about the Father's business. So here we are interested in the things of God as to the revelation, praying that God would grant unto us not just to come to church and hear the preacher or to hear the word of the Lord, but to come to church to receive the divine spirit of revelation, not just to feel an inspiration of the Spirit of God, is to have His presence, because the Spirit of God is poured out upon all flesh. In the day that we're living in, all flesh can feel the presence of God. For it's poured out upon the just and upon the unjust. The rain is on the just and the unjust. And the tare lives by the same water that the wheat does. And the sunshine from heaven comes down upon the briar as well as it does the wheat. So that doesn't have anything to do with it. It has to do with the harvest. As to the yielding forth of our daily doings, like it says in Corinthians, Paul said, and everyone shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account to God for the deeds done in their body. Everyone shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account to God for the deeds that they have done in their body. As to what they've thought in their minds, as to what deeds they've done, as to the word they've said, as to your daily whereabouts in the homes among people, as to talk, as to be about, or wherever you go, you've got to give an account to God for every step that you've taken, every word that you spoke, every thought that you have thought, every motive, every intention. Now, isn't it strange that in the expose, it said it had a body like a leopard? Now, what did we say of the beast that Daniel spoke of? The beast that Daniel spoke of, what did we say about it? We said that one of them was a leopard. One of them was a leopard. And here it said it had a body like a leopard. And then it goes on to say it had feet like a bear. What did we say of one of the three beasts? We said it was a bear. And then it said it had a mouth like a lion. And what did we say of one of the three beasts? We said that it was a lion. So when we see this, We see again, what do we see? We see exactly what I had just told you. When the Lord put these things together for me, show them to me, quicken them to me, I said, Lord, that means that it's just like you have revealed it is the old Babylonian kingdom. Because if that was Babylon, and that was the moving of Babylon, and all three of those beasts in the days of Daniel showed those rulers in Babylon. Now here John sees this, and the composition of this beast that he saw come up out of the waters in the end time agrees with what you told Daniel, that this would come to pass in the end time. And here is the same composition of beast. It's the same beast all put together as those supreme rulers of Babylon. I said it's the same old Babylonian power that's put together in a threesome. Instead of a 1-2-3 rule, it's all rolled up into one power, and the same devil that rules secularly speaking through these now is coming back in a trinity rule, a 3-in-1, and he's going to rule in all of his fierceness and power by bringing that whole thing into a oneness. And so then you find that the beast is exactly that. It's the restoration of the old Babylon kingdom. That's why that I spoke the other day to you about this man that is sprang up over in the east. His admiration is concerning Babylon. He has sprang up over there almost as one that's fearless. He is going over to the old Babylon place that's being restored. And he is having a ceremonial thing every year as to a festival at the capital to draw people's attention to the capital. And he is going there having a coin printed up with Nebuchadnezzar II on one side of the coin and his face on the other side of the coin. Or I would say that what his plans and program is, and I said this here not too long ago, and it's proven out so far, that his interest is to get control in Babylon, to set up a kingdom that would rule the world, to be like Nebuchadnezzar, to bring in that old Antichrist system, and to get control of all the Muslim worship. Because there are millions of those people, and to project himself as the God of the Muslims, to return, they're expecting some freakish return of some freakish God. And like a vision that I saw, in this vision I saw here a long time ago, I was on a road, and this was such a broad, dusty road, wide, wide road. And I looked, and it looked like millions of people scattered, just streaming, broadly going toward this great image. And I looked, and up in heaven, the whole heaven was filled with a great image. And this great image was there like with a great beard and whatever, and it was spread clear across the heavens, similar to the very picture that I saw of this man not too long ago. But anyway, I just said that to say this. I suddenly recognized that they were going toward this thing, that it was a god. And they were going toward this paganistic god. He was drawing these people to him. So then, right at this time, this particular fella, all he can think about is the Jews. I said that he would rise up against the Jews. That's what it would be about. And sure enough, just recently, he has again made an accusation against the Jews, saying that what America is doing has been inspired by the Jews, and that they're the ones that caused Bush to do what he's doing. Well, you know that's a lie, and you know that's wrong, but nevertheless, that's what he says. See, which means that he has one thing in mind, and that's to attack those Jews. And of course, the last thing to bring the end of the world is an attack on the Jews. That's the thing that it has to be. Daniel spoke of that. We've got it on tape as to the abomination that maketh desolate. And even these things that we brought out here, if I had time to detail it, I could point it out how that it again points to the middle of the week as to the desolation. And I'm just tying a little bit of it together to bring it over to the book of Revelation to let you see that there's a connection, that when you are praying and meditating in the things of God or studying, that you can tie these things together with the old that's in the veil and the new that brings it out of the veil, that you can better understand the end time. And as Paul said, be thoroughly furnished with the indoctrination of the Word of God to know the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because what the revelation of Jesus Christ is the unveiled mystery of Almighty God. Whereas Jesus said, and it's not given unto them that are without to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said, great is the mystery of the kingdom of God. But it's not given unto the religious sect of people out there, nor the worldly people, to know it. He said, but unto you, you that are the bride, you that are those that will inhabit the next world, that coming world. He said, unto you it is given that ye should know the mysteries. Or that is, he was speaking to his disciples as the foundation of that great city that was referred to as the bride or the inhabitants of that city. All they that walk in the light of that city, seeing that her light is most precious like a jasper stone. Well, that is to say, your light as to the revelating light of understanding is most precious. Beholding as it would be the light of the glory of his unveiled face, as being holding his unveiled face in a mirror or a glass, we are changed into his very image. The transformating light. Paul said concerning this great, wonderful, unveiled light, he said, if the glory of the diminishing light of that which was Moses as to the veiled light, that which brought condemnation, if that be a great light as to that which brought condemnation and death, how much greater is the glory of this light that brings salvation and liberation to our souls? To know that this is the unveiled light, and that the veil of death is eradicated altogether by this light, and that condemnation is completely gone, and that we are the children of freedom and of liberty. All right, so it says here, having seven heads. Now, it's very obvious, I'm just trying to explain just a little bit now about this beast that's coming. Jesus called him beast. It said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Remember that name. It said, if your names are not written in the book of life, you'll worship him. When John inquired as to what this had to do with, it said that this beast was going to force people to take a number, which you know is coming up through the computer system already. And it'll be a computerized system. And it's going to be a beastly regime, because them people are beasts, some of them brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. And he'll have great power as to the one that will come up. He speaks of another one coming up out of the earth that will... He'll have two horns like a lamb, but he'll speak as a dragon. And he's the one that will go before the beast to build the image of the beast. And he'll cause everyone on the earth to worship the beast, whose deadly wound will be healed, in that one of the heads are to be wounded to death. Now, I want to say that to say this. If you'll notice, when John speaks of this, he speaks of the heads. And I want you to notice something here. I want to take my time just for a minute now. He makes war with the saints. This is one of the things he'll do. He blasphemes the name of the Lord Jesus. And the tabernacle of God that's in... and them that dwell in heaven. Now remember, the woman was in heaven. This is after the woman is in heaven. He blasphemed the 144,000 that was also in heaven. He blasphemes us. The one that receives it, the Bible says that they'll be tormented day and night as to the number in the presence of the Lord. Jesus speaks of this great city now. He speaks of this woman. Notice this. He speaks of this great whore in Revelation 17. And this whore is sitting upon the beast. She's full of names of blasphemy. She is sitting upon the beast that has the seven heads and ten horns. I want you to notice that it says in Revelation 17, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Said it's the great whore that sits upon many waters. The whole earth is drunk off the fornication of her wine, that is her doctrine, and her peddling of all of her things. And over in Revelation 18 and 19, you can read about her sorceries and how that God overthrows them. She's decked with gold and precious stones and all these things as to the filthiness and abomination of a fornication. All her gold and silver and her beautiful cathedrals and all of these high places. And upon her head is Mystery Babylon written. I'm just running over this because I ain't got time to read it. And the woman was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the martyrs. She's the one that's responsible for all of her deaths. Now when John marveled, the Lord said, I'll show you the mystery of her and the beast. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. That is, this beast was in power at one time and is not in power now, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. John saw him coming up out of the waters, which indicated people. He was coming out of the bottomless pit. One reason for this, if you'll see in Revelation 13, this is after war in heaven, when Lucifer is cast out of the spirit. And so then he is coming up out of the bottomless pit. He one time was, but he is not in power. And now he's coming up out of the bottomless pit, which again goes back to the old powers of Babylon, back to the ruling powers of Babylon, and back to Judas. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, you really have to stop and think right here. Rome sits on seven hills. It's over there right now. The Bible said this woman sit upon the beast, and the beast carried her, and this beast was a scarlet colored beast. Some would wonder why it's called a scarlet colored beast. How could it be seven mountains as the seven heads, seven mountains on top of a beast? Where then would the scarlet come in? It would indicate the flow of blood, that she's bathed in blood. Her hills, her mountains, her land is soaked with blood. See, and this whore is founded there like the Cathedral of Peter, the Basilica of Peter. And the seven heads are there. It says, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. This is the kings that relate to the heads. Five have fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Remember that now. John 96 AD, exiled to Patmos, five kings as to those heads. Notice now, the seven heads are seven mountains, and there are seven kings. Seven kings relating to the heads. Five of them in 96 AD had already gone past. That means by the time that John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, seven of them was already history. One was in power, which made six. One was in power, and we was waiting for one to come, which would be the last one, as to make the seven. But I want you to notice something now. Five are fallen, one is, that is in power, and the other is not yet come. He was to come and just last a little while. He must continue a short space. Remember, this is where the wounding of the head comes in, and the deadly wound is healed. And all the world wondereth after him. And how many remember, even as to this Pope that came when he was wounded, and they called it a deadly wound. And we said that that wound would be healed, and it was healed. And all the world wondered after him, even the Pope we've already got. Said, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Notice this now. One is to come, continue a short space. Remember, we had one just before this Pope that come up. Just a little while, something happened. And then it says, and then the eighth will come, and he shall be the beast. Seven heads, but neither one of them was the beast. But the eighth is of the seven, which indicates that he'll come out of the kingdom of the seven. And he will be the Antichrist. And the ten horns which thou sawest, they're also ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So you see, that whore is a city. All right, so then you can see in just a few words here to explain a few things tonight as to what we're saying, to have some understanding of what we're talking about. Now, when we speak of these ten kings, it makes you to understand what we mean when we speak of the Ten Commandments. These kings are likened unto the Ten Commandments, which hates Satan, hates the whore, hates sin, hates the body of corruption, but sin gets its strength by the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments is that which will burn the whore with fire, burn the corruptible body with fire, but yet sin gets its strength by the Ten Commandments. But it is because God has put it in their heart as to give their kingdom to the beast until his will is fulfilled. So as I said, those kingdoms, as to those ten kings overseas, which are typical, really hate Rome, and they hate her domineering power. But because of the common market of Europe, and because of the advantage of that which will be the economy of that world, and having to have food and shelter for their people, and the king and that city having the money that's going to be in control, they'll have to submit to it just like Israel will. And all that has to do with the covenant, the breaking of the covenant, the making of the covenant, the first of the week, the prophets prophesying for the 3.5 years of the first of the week, and Antichrist taking over things in the middle of the week, and the great whore being in there with Antichrist, and the covenant being broken with Israel in the middle of the week, and the thrones being cast down. All these things, I just wish we had hours and hours and hours to detail them. But talking about great is the mystery of godliness, the mysteries of God being finished, all these things being real clear, coming out to where we can understand them, and right here to end, where the saints shall rise and take the kingdom, and possess it forever and ever. Let's everybody stand together. I tried to just take a few minutes and hurried and didn't really get to say much, and yet hurried and took a long time too. Really didn't get to say hardly anything. Just running through what little I did. Let's sing this little chorus together. We sing this little chorus so often. I love Him. I love Him, I love Him, I love Him because He first loved me. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. I brought in a little history, just kind of run over it, and then brought out just a little bit of revelation and just a little indoctrination. Couldn't get to bring out a whole lot of anything, but try to position a few little things along to have it to where you could perhaps get an intellectual outlay of it in your mind to where the Spirit could talk to you about it, which I hope that'll work out.
I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die in their place. He gave His life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Thank God there's a bridge o'er the river. Day I shall see His sweet face. With Him I'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for His wonderful. Sing with me. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see His sweet face. With Him now will there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Day I shall see His sweet grace. With Him marvelous. One more time. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see His sweet with Him. My world will there forever. Thank the Lord. One more time, Brother Taylor. Thank God. There's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see his sweet face. With him, we'll there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. And he's somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Come home. Supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Can you sing that one? Oh, come home. It's supper time. We're when I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come, winding down an old familiar way. I hear my mother call at set of dawn. Home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are fast. Oh, come home, it's supper time. We're going at last. In memory I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The banquet table's ready up in glory. It's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows all lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
Getting later and later. Everything that I see and everything that I can tell shows us about all the signs of the time fulfilled, and the coming of the Lord is at hand. I don't hardly see anything that's not fulfilled. The mysteries of God are being made plainer and plainer. And seems like that this is the sinful and adulterous generation that Jesus spoke about. I noticed that airborne special or delivery man came out the other day, was dressed in shorts. That was the uniform. Notice the ball players now. Looks like their new uniforms, the shorts. And the mail carriers, I noticed the mail carriers' new uniforms and shorts, men and women. And everything seems to be right down the line. I don't know of anything else that would really have to fulfill the coming of the Lord. Someone said, well, what about the desolation, abomination of desolation, Brother Pike? I told you that that don't have to fulfill before the church goes out. That fulfills in the middle of the week after the church goes out. It has nothing to do with you. Someone would say, well, what about the prophets coming on the scene? It has nothing to do with you either. They come on the scene as you go out. And it's true that they come in at the first of the week. Someone would say, well, what does this in about him making war with the saints and overcoming the saints and killing the saints? Well, the Bible speaks of the church. It was in the wilderness. And those are saints of God that will be passing right on through the tribulation. Not the bride of Christ. But those that are sealed, the Jews, they'll still be saints of God. And he'll have power. He'll be given power over them during that period of time. Have you ever read in the Bible where he ever had power over the church? You ever read in the Bible where God ever gave the devil power over the church at any time? If he ever does that, the whole Bible scriptures will be broken. For he said to the church, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. Isn't that right? How could he do that? His kingdom would be divided. There'd be something mixed up right there. Somebody talks about the church going through the tribulation. How could that be, to give the devil power over us? He doesn't have any power over us. We have power over him. All power over him. Somebody said, well, I don't know. I've been having pain. Well, does that mean that you don't have any power over him? How do you know Jesus had pain? How do you know that he had power over the devil? That he proved it before he ever had a pain at Calvary? How do you know that? Did you know that Jesus had power to lay his life down and to take it up before he ever went to Calvary? Somebody would say, well, he did when he went to Calvary and he conquered the devil. He said, this commandment I have of my Father. I thought one of these nights we might minister on that. He had that before he ever went to Calvary. And there's some beautiful teachings in those things. I wish we had time to preach on it. Right, let's sing another chorus. Well, I think I'll praise the Lord while I have the chance, while I have the chance, while I have the chance. Oh, I think I'll praise the Lord while I have the chance, 'cause I may not have this chance anymore.
Well, I think I'll praise the Lord while I have a chance. While I have a chance. While I have a chance. Well, I think I'll praise the Lord while I have a chance. Cause I may not have this chance anymore. So I think I'll testify while I have a chance. While I have a chance. Just while I have a chance. Oh, I think I'll testify while I have a chance. For I may not have this chance. Well, I think I'll love the Lord while I have a chance. While I have a chance. While I have a chance. Well, I think I'll love the Lord while I have a chance. May not have this chance anymore. Well, I think I'll give to God while I have a chance. While I have a chance. While I have a chance. Think I'll give to God while I have a chance. May not have this chance anymore. Well, I think I'll love my neighbor just while I have a chance. While I have a chance. While I have a chance. Think I'll love my neighbor while I have a chance. Cause I may not have this chance anymore. Think I'll help my brother just while I have a chance. While I have a chance. While I have a chance. Well, I think I'll help my brother just while I have a chance. May not have this chance anymore. I think I'll go to meeting just while I have a chance. While I have a chance. While I have a chance. Think I'll go to the house of God just while I have a chance. May not have this chance anymore. Let us praise the Lord just while we have this chance. While we have this chance. While we have this chance. Oh, let us praise the Lord just while we have this chance. We may not have this chance anymore. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be alright. So let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning and love Him at noon. Love. Well, sometimes I feel heaven come down. Heaven has come down. Heaven's come down. Sometimes I feel heaven has come down. Heaven has come down. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, I looked over the Jordan, what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, you're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Let's just bow our heads together. I ask that this coming month be a soul-searching month. I want you to search your soul. I want to search my soul. Even while we're out in the Nevada meeting, I want to search for souls, and I want to search my soul. And I just like to pray, seek the Lord, which I try to do this, but I like to do this. I like to do this. A lot of things I'd like to be is my journey I pursue. I'd like to be a leader like other men would do. Like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. I'd like to just search my heart. Tell somebody about Jesus. Compel them to come in. Tell them about Bethlehem. Invite them over. You never know. You never know. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. The Bible said that the house of the Lord may be filled up. Let it be filled up and overflowing. That my house may be full. This is what the Lord is wanting. This is what the Lord of heaven is wanting. While you're standing here with your hands lifted up to heaven, your hearts lifted up to heaven, remember your children, precious children of God. And the Bible said, if children, then your heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And think what that means: eternal life, eternal health, eternal youth and strength, eternal wealth and riches.
to never die. Suffering will be gone forever. Problems will be gone forever. Heartaches will be gone forever. Fears and frustrations will be gone forever. Anxieties will be gone forever. No more pressures. No more problems. No more worries. Never, forever, they'll be gone. As our brother comes to pray with us, remember me in your prayers, because I need your prayers. Pray that God will open doors for me, and that he will lead me into the places that he would have me to go, that I might minister the gospel and that I might win souls. The Bible said he that winneth souls is wise. And pray that God will help me to win souls. This is the desire of my heart.